Swung on, fly ball, hit the deep center field. Williams goes back.
So welcome. Good day, everybody. We are here at the Iroquois Teachers Conference 2007 in Bangkok, Thailand, and we're in the middle of doing a session on podcasting. I've just gone over about 30 minutes of how to get started with podcasting, and we're just going to have a conversation over podcasting and any questions you might have about podcasting. You need to know, because you're listening to this and you don't have a visual, there's about 5,000 educators in the room. And so I'm going to be running around the best I can, trying to get to people as they raise their hand. So to get us started, does anybody have a question or a comment about podcasting that they'd like to go? All right, right over here.
I'm a very beginner, and I want to know how much a device like that costs.
All right. A very beginner that wants to know how much a device like this costs. Anybody have an answer to that? What does an iPod and a Belkin TuneTalk cost?
My name is David Johnson. I'm a computer teacher at Seoul Foreign School, South Korea. I just bought an iPod video, and it was $249.
Yeah, about $250.
Yeah. That was in San Francisco.
Yeah, about $250. And the Belkin TuneTalk is about another $100, the little add-on piece. Okay. Good question. Any other questions? Yes.
My name is Daniel, American School of Bangkok. Do you ever do video podcasting?
Good question. Does anybody in here do a video podcast? Do we have any podcasters in the room? I didn't even ask that. Do any podcasters? A couple. Do you do video podcasts?
Sort of.
Well, let me get, what do you mean sort of? Let me run through here real quick. Excuse me. Go ahead and give us your name and school.
Rob Cormack. I'm at the International School of Beijing. We do... I do a podcasting enrichment at the middle school, so we do more audio, but we have a teacher that does claymation enrichment, and he produces these Windows media files, and then we convert them and do the XML and put them up as a video component.
Very cool. Very cool. So you can bring this into different classes. Here we go, another question.
If you use Audio or Podomatic, is there a way to password protect it so not just anyone can get to it?
Good question. Does anybody know on Audio or Podomatic? Is anybody else using those sites? As far as I know, there isn't. And part of that is podcasting, again, you want that audience. And I know that's difficult for us sometimes in schools because we want to keep our kids safe. You know, but when you create a podcast and you put it out there on one of those types of sites, then usually it's out for the world to see. Now, somebody has to know the direct address to get to it, so the very likelihood of that happening is probably slim, but it can happen. Okay? Has anybody been thinking about... Oh, sorry, we got a question over here. School and name?
Susan Semler, Yangon, Myanmar. I'm wondering how you reduce background noise in a lab-type setting when recording.
Good question. Anybody have an answer to that one? How do you reduce background noise in a lab-type setting? You give all your kids a sucker, and you make them put it in their mouth. No.
You use directional mics instead of parabolics.
Okay, use directional mics so that you have to speak directly into it rather than picking up all the background noise. That's one thing where something like this, where an iPod would not work. The one you heard, the infomercial that you heard, was actually in a classroom setting. Or in a lab setting where the other 19 kids were also recording their podcasts. And you can hear a little bit of the background noise, and that's okay. But if you really wanted to get rid of it, then you'd have to stick that kid in a room by themselves. But we use directional mic that goes directly into the computer, and so the kid just speaks really closely, and you try to keep the rest of the kids as quiet as possible. Question.
Doug Johnson, Mankato Area Public Schools, Mankato, Minnesota. I want to know where you get your music. Do you try to use royalty-free music, or do you use just a small percentage of royalty music, or where does the music come from?
Okay, good question. Anybody have an answer to that? Where do you find all of this podcasting music for your intros and your outros for podcasts? Anybody know? That's a good question, and it's a question that actually gets asked quite often when you start podcasting. And there are a ton of royalty-free sites out there. You would be surprised if you start looking around how many royalty-free sites there are and how many Creative Commons sites there are. There's one out there that's called Free Music... Oh, I can't remember it now. freeplaymusic.org is a great site. It also gives you different song lengths. So a student goes and they can listen to the song online. If they like it, they can download 30 seconds of it, 60 seconds of it, or the whole song. So that's a great little thing, because for an intro or for an exit, you only need 30 seconds. You know, an intro or an exit doesn't need to be that long. So you only download 30 seconds of the, you know, of that song that you need to use, and you can put it for your intro or your exit.
I'm Dave Reinerson, American School in Japan. If you're doing that, then you have to get to some sort of mixing visual, right? And then you just mix that in as if you were recording two separate things?
Yeah, and Audacity will do that, and I'll show you how that works. It's really simple. You just import it as another track, and you just move things around.
One more question. Mm-hmm. On that mixing board that had four mic inputs, those are regular low impedance microphones?
Correct.
And can you mix them separately? As well as together?
Yeah. On that mixing board, you can do like left channel, right channel, or you can mix them all together as equal channels across the board. Yeah. Okay. Has anybody started thinking about how they might be able to use podcasting in their room or at their school?
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
Our kids have really long commutes, and they all listen to iPods the whole time, and they probably lack of more time for reading. So we've actually considered downloading lectures and that kind of thing, and having them, you know, putting them through that on their long train ride or bus ride. I suppose we could make our own or use something that already exists. Are there any copyright problems if you own like an audio disc of downloading that? Is that a copyright issue?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that one. If you already own the audio, how does it work? I do know that most copyrights, and don't quote me on this, although I am recording it, most copyrights for most royalty songs allow you to play up to 30 seconds. Okay? Now, the one that I use for my podcast site, I use 15 seconds. And I've looked for that particular song, and I know that that artist allows up to 30 seconds. That's how radio stations get away with playing like a 30-second clip. Or that's how you get, like, you have a background music that you know in a commercial. Is if that commercial's under 30 seconds or they start it just a fraction of a second too late, you can play a new up-to-beat music without having to worry about royalty fees. It gets kind of etchy, and I try to stay away with it, and I don't allow any of my students to do it. I push all my students to use royalty-free Creative Commons music. Or sound. You can find all kinds of cool sound effects. People screaming and hollering and jumping off boats and doing all kinds of funky stuff.
Also, GarageBand and Audacity allow you to create your own music, so you can create your own jingle, things like that.
Yeah, and GarageBand's really good at it. GarageBand was built for podcasting, and you can mix and match your own intros and exits, for sure. Okay? All right, so that's it. We're going to go ahead and start editing this. Why don't everybody say bye? All right, there we go.